This evening, please open your Bibles to the book of Joshua. I'm sorry, Judges. I was already reading from the wrong book here. Judges chapter 7. I do know all the words now in that other passage, though. Page 295 in your Scofield Bible, we'll be reading verses 1 through 6. We'll read the verses responsively. Judges chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Let's stand, please, for the reading of this passage. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, Mine own hand hath saved me. Now therefore go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, Whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, The people are yet too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, This shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whomsoever I say unto thee, This shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, Every one that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself, likewise every one that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you. We got to come back to church tonight. Thank you for the evening service. Thank you that the evening service here at First Baptist Church is a large one, and it's a popular one. But Father, whether or not that's so, the thing about it is we need thee, we need thy presence and thy power. And perhaps that's the reason why it's been a successful kind of service. You meet with us, we truly enjoy the fact that we get something out of this service. We pray that you'd bless now and help us this evening and our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tonight I'm going to speak on one of the great causes for Christians having wasted lives. I'm going to speak on one of Satan's most subtle tactics. The devil is shrewd. He's subtle. He's wiry, if you please. And tonight I want to speak on something, and I want you please to look at me. We do not take notes here. We simply look this way. And let me talk to you. I'll give you the title of the message after a while, but I want to tell you now that it's one of the most important subjects. It is not a glamour kind of a sermon. I told the fellows coming in the office a while ago, I said, did you ever preach a sermon that you didn't think was very spectacular, but you felt like people needed it? And I said, that's the case tonight. This is not one of my better sermons. It'll not be one of my better sermons, but it's something that's so needed, I preach it because I think it's needed. I told the fellows, I said, the truth is, my sermon tonight is about as interesting as a haircut. And Brother Young said, I hope it's as short as a haircut also. And, of course, you know what I'm going to do now, don't you? By the time Brother Young leaves here, he'll be Brother Old. And, but, that's pretty funny. Well, I like that. And so I want to talk tonight stories about Gideon and his 300 men. Father, help me as I speak tonight. And I pray you'd help me to be interesting enough for the folks to listen, because it is such a vital subject. I wouldn't be surprised by what more Christians fail and stumble at the judgment seat, that it were disappointed over this one thing the devil. Than most anything else. So help me to be have a clear mind and a warm heart. Please help me to help the people tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to make a statement. I have no desire to be the best at anything. My goal is never to be, never has been, to be a great preacher, and I've reached my goal, as you know. I have never had a goal of being a great Bible teacher, the best Bible teacher in America. I've never had a goal as being the best anything in America. I want to come back to that after a while, because that's mainly what my message is about tonight. Listen carefully. For 40 years after the great victory by Barak and the Song of Deborah, the land had been at peace. This was followed by 7 years of Midianite oppression for the people of God. The oppression was so bad during these 7 years that multitudes had fled their homes and made their dwellings in dens and caves of the earth, hardly daring to show their faces for fear of the Midianite enemy. 'Twas then that God called a man named Gideon, who reluctantly accepted the job and the call as the deliverer of the people of God. Gideon sent his call out to the tribes, and 32,000 men volunteered for the militia. This is minuscule compared to the host of Midian. It is only a small percentage of what the Midianite army brought against Israel. God told Gideon to send home the fearful and the trembling. Now you understand, 32,000 people, 30,000 men in the army, that's a mighty small militia, and just a fraction of what the enemy had. Now then God comes and says to Gideon, I want you to send home those that are fearful. So Gideon called his men together and he said, everybody that's fearful, I want you to go back home. 22,000 people, our men, went back, because they're fearful, leaving only 10,000 men. Now, there was a need for water for these 10,000 men. Don't miss what I'm going to say now. There was a need for water for these 10,000 men. So they came to a drink to get water, and 9,700 of them knelt, bending over to drink this necessity of life. However, 300 of these men stood and caught the water in their hands and lapped the water. Now, every middle-aged or older person knows what it was like to play in a vacant lot and used to have faucets at the side of the house, and you'd get there beside the house, and you'd either drink out of the faucet like that, or you'd hold your hand like that, and you'd drink it like that. That's sort of what they did, though they didn't have faucets. But 9,700 knelt, bending over to drink this necessity of life, water, if you please. 300 stood, did not kneel, and caught the water in their hands and lapped it. The 9,700 were told by God to go back home, leaving the militia with 300 people. Now, there have been all kinds of reasons advanced for this, why God used this method to decrease the number of soldiers and warriors in the army of Israel. Now, let me give you what I think it is. I think that these 9,700 men were taking unnecessary time for the supplying of the necessities of life. Now, water is a necessity of life. But these 9,700 men took excessive time, whereas the 300 men quickly took the drink of water. And God's green beret must not spend excessive time on the necessities of life. Don't leave me now. So my title tonight is this: Unnecessary Time for the Necessary Things of Life. Unnecessary Time for the Necessary Things of Life. That is the title of my sermon. For example, man needs sleep. It is a necessity. Brother John is getting it right now. And man needs sleep. By the way, Miss House, we're trying to think at noon today of what the name of the person was. A certain person we're trying to think of today, and we couldn't think of the person's name. It was the person that I didn't insult during my sermon this morning. And we knew there's at least one person. She said, whatever it was, you didn't know his name, that's for sure, or you'd insult him. And, of course, I'm sure you're praying for our marriage. But the truth is, a man needs sleep. It is necessary, but God's special troops cannot have it to excess. I know a preacher, he's in heaven now, but I know a preacher, if I listed the 10 most talented men that I've ever known in the ministry, I'd put this man on the list. However, the man was lazy. He overslept every morning, and he went to bed early at night. He just didn't work hard, and he was lazy. Now, such is the case. Sleep is a necessary thing, but God's special troops cannot have it to excess and be successful in the war against the evil one. Illustration: man needs food, but the truth is God's crack unit must not have it to excess. Man needs exercise, but many a Christian has been told to go back because he exercises in excess. Man needs recreation, but many have been discharged from God's green beret because of its excess. There's nothing wrong with golf if it's not in excess. There's nothing wrong with fishing if it's not in excess. There's nothing wrong with bowling if it's not in excess. There's nothing wrong with exercise or jogging or if it's not in excess. There's nothing wrong with hunting if it's not in excess. There's nothing wrong with relaxation if it's not in excess. There's nothing wrong with spectator sports if it's not in excess. But the honest simple truth, man needs recreation, but many have been discharged from God's crack troops because they have participated or spent unnecessary time in this necessary activity. Big illustration: I believe that man needs music. But many have been busted from God's top unit because of the excess in music. Many people have become stilted because they spend more time in music than they ought to. Just as some folks spend more time in exercise, and some folks spend more time in sleep, and some folks spend much more time in recreation. Likewise, many people have failed in service for God because they have become stilted and over tilted toward music. For example, man needs to worship God, but not at the expense of helping others. Man doesn't need to go to some monastery and hide and worship God the rest of his life while people go hungry, unfed, unclothed, and unsaved. God wants us to worship. Sleep is a part of our lives, but not in excess. And food is a part of our lives, but not in excess. And exercise is a necessary part of our lives, but not in excess. And recreation and music and worship are all necessaries, but the tragedy is that oftentimes people take one of these necessities and spend unnecessary time in these necessities. A man needs to pray, but not so much as to leave all other necessities, such as service for God. We had a little lady came here, and I've told this story time and time again. Ruth Elaine Bartell. Ruth Elaine Bartell was a pastor's wife. Her husband passed away in the state of Michigan. She wrote me a letter and said, "Dear Dr. Hiles, I believe in you. My husband has gone to heaven. I'd like to move to Hammond if you'd let me. If you'll find me a little room where I can just put a cot, where I can sleep, or I can pray for you, I'd like to come and spend the rest of my life praying for your ministry." Ruth Elaine Bartell got my schedule every week from my secretary. She found out what time zone I was preaching, and whether I was preaching first or second, and not 1 minute, as long as she lived, I think about 12 years, not 1 minute would I ever preach a word without Ruth Elaine Bartell being on her face praying for God to bless her preacher. I mean across the country. She prayed for me in her own little room over here, wherever I was, of course. But
You'd also find her, when I wasn't preaching somewhere, walking up down the streets of Hammond, passing out gospel tracts, or knocking on doors and winning folks to Christ. I'm saying the world is full of Christian people who pray too much. Oh, don't misunderstand me. Prayer is a necessity of the Christian life, but not at the expense of sleep, food, exercise, recreation, music, worship, and the other Christian activities. For example, man has a need for finances, but many a soldier has gone AWOL because he spent unnecessary time in obtaining this necessity. I know a preacher, a good man. I love the guy. He was a successful pastor. But he started investing a little here and investing a bit there. But you better watch out, fellas. You better be a little careful too much about activities other than letting God supply your needs. I'm not against it. I'm preaching against anybody at all. I'm simply saying, just watch it and govern it. That's all I'm saying. But this fellow got interested, and before you know it, he was making a lot of money. So then he went into other endeavors in the Lord's work, and so-called, where he could make some money. Now you listen carefully to me. I'm not against money. I'm not against finances. If you're Russell Anderson or Jack DeCosta, and spend that money that you make in service for God. But I want to say this. Finances or financial desires can become overbalanced, and before you know it, you can spend too much time making money at the expense of other activities for God. Now, these are all necessary things, but Satan's big, subtle wile is when he tries to get us at the expense of all the other activities of the Christian life to exercise one in excess, if you please. Illustration. Man needs family and home. That's a need. But many in God's army have overspent their time at home with family and have been useless in the battle. Man needs to work. But many men have been of no help in the battle because of abuse of this matter of work. Man needs time alone, but many are so reclusive, they are of no use in the battle. I'm thinking now of a preacher. I won't tell you where he is, but a preacher, a dear friend of mine, who spends most of his time reading books. Now, I'm not against books. I read one myself in 1938. But I'm not against books. I'll tell you one thing. I am against books if that becomes too much time spent on that necessary. I think most folks ought to read more. I think most folks ought to turn the television set off and read a book. I think a lot of you folks ought to turn your computers off and read a book. And a lot of folks ought to turn your Nintendo games off and let your children read some books for a change. And one of the sad things about this country is we have lost our desire and lost our willingness and lost the great riches that come from reading. But you can sit there and read and read and read at the expense of everything else. And Gideon's army here, these 9,700 men, they did something that was necessary, but they spent unnecessary time doing that which was necessary. Man needs this book. I don't mean a Bible. I mean the only real Bible, the King James Bible. I don't call it a King James Version because it is not a version. It is the Bible. I don't call it the KJV. I call it the KJB. It's the King James Bible and not a version of the Bible. This is God's preserved eternal word. And people ought to spend time in this Bible, and most people here spend more time watching the stinking box than you're reading the eternal Word of God. Now, I'm not opposed, ladies and gentlemen, to reading. I am opposed to reading, however, and I'm opposed to Bible study at the expense of helping people. Man needs the Word of God, but not to become spiritually fat from its study without its spread. It's our job to read the Bible so we can spread the Bible. The Bible is not a museum piece to examine. The Bible is a weapon to use in the battle against the devil. So, once again, each of these matters are just things that are necessary in life, but it's so easy for the devil to pull us over to one of these things, and we spend unnecessary time at an unnecessary thing at the expense of all these other things that are necessary. For example, if you spend time sleeping, which is necessary at the expense of eating and exercise and recreation and music and worship and praying and finances and family and home and work and time alone and the Word of God, then you are tilted and you're not a well-rounded child of God. Or if you spend most of your time in the Bible at the expense of soul winning, at the expense of prayer, at the expense of family, at the expense of worship, at the expense of making a living, at the expense of family and home, at the expense of recreation, at the expense of worshiping God. I'm not interested in sending out a bunch of Howells Anderson College graduates to scream and holler on the street corner and never worship Almighty God. I'm not interested in sending out a bunch of nuts around the country just to holler and scream against women wearing pants and men wearing earrings and not getting in this book. I'm interested in sending out some well-rounded men of God who touch all the bases and do all the necessary things without spending unnecessary time on necessaries and neglecting other necessary things of life. In other words, man can become excessive in one of life's needs at the neglect of others. As I said, man needs to learn, but many a person has spent his life in preparation to do nothing. Man needs to study. Man needs culture. Man needs pleasure. Man needs health. Man needs hobbies. But 9,700 men decided to take too much time doing that which was necessary and spent unnecessary time doing that which was necessary. Now, let's look at some of these 9,700, who they were. I'm sure there's some Bible teachers here. Bible teachers that spend their time in their studies, just learn the Bible, and teaching in some Bible college somewhere. I'm not interested in having a bunch of teachers at Howells Anderson College that just know one little subject. I'm interested in having a bunch of teachers that know this book, know how to get to hold the throne of grace, know how to win a soul to Christ, know how to be a well-rounded child of God, know how to praise God, know how to worship God, know how to exalt the Savior. I'm trying to say, ladies and gentlemen, all across America, you got this kind of church over here, and over here you got this kind of church over here, and this kind of church here. Bless God, I want to have a church that has all the bases, touches all the bases, and does all the things that are necessary in the work of God. In this 9,700, there were some counselors. Their special calling was to counsel. Now, I'm for counseling. I've done it for years and years. Hundreds of thousands of people have been in my office in these years. I've counseled. But bless God, I'm worried about people, these preachers that quit their churches and spend their whole lives counseling. I don't think they're men of God. I said, I don't think they're men of God. You Howells Anderson students, we're not training specialists here. We're training general practitioners. We're training men of God to go out and establish old-fashioned, independent Baptist, New Testament, King James Bible-only Baptist churches who touch all of it. I want you to go out and conduct the most impressive Lord's Supper in the world. I want you to have the sweetest wedding in the world, and the most comforting funeral in the world, and the best counseling in the world, and the hottest hellfire and damnation sermon in the world, and the best soul-winning program in the world, and the best youth program in the world. And worship and praise and all of that. I'm not interested in turning out a bunch of preacher boys across this country that are tilted, off balance, and one little thing, and this is it. Listen, First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana has not been built by spinning against the four or five unique sins. Now, you know how I feel. You know my convictions and my standards. But I want to tell you something. There's more than just convictions and standards. Our folks ought to know how to exalt our wonderful Savior. Our folks ought to know how to praise our God. Our folks ought to know how to be still and know that He is God. Our folks ought to know how to draw nigh to God. In this 9,700, there are some Bible teachers that were just Bible teachers. There are some counselors that were just counselors. There are some intellectuals that were just intellectuals. There are some musicians, no doubt, that their own little unique thing. Listen, the folks that play that box there and play that box right there and sing up here in the choir, they ought to be soul winners just like everybody else and live in the Bible just like everybody else. I was in a church, I went to Dr. John Rice years ago up in the state of Pennsylvania. They hired an unsaved lady from the Conservatory of Music to lead the choir. Dr. Rice got so mad. I wish you had known John Rice. He has a reputation for being sweet. J. Frank Norris said about John Rice, he was the kindest and gentlest man that ever scuttled a ship or slit a throat. Dr. Rice got some mad. He stopped and said, you know, this is a nice building. Somebody organized a church here. We were in services that night. Pastor sitting up on the platform. He said, this big tank up here, that'd make a good baptistry in case you ever get anybody saved. Now you listen. I would rather have a fella that leads the singing like he's pumping a well. Like DeGilio did in Henderson, Texas. Down at the cross where my Savior died. Down where from cleansing comes in. I just like Broadway does. I'd rather have Mr. DeGilio in Southside Baptist Church, Henderson, Texas, or Wood Armstrong with his overalls, striped overalls, at the Morris Chapel Baptist Church, a man that loves God, than to hire some perverted person who's just a musician, and that's all. God give us a bunch of people who touch all the bases, and not at the expense of any. In this 9700, there were some athletes, probably some high school basketball players. Now, you high school basketball players, if you're not going to read your Bible, then don't play on our team. If you're not going to live by our standards, don't play on our team. Or if you're going to be a cheerleader and not live by, I'm talking about summertime as well as wintertime. I'm talking about when you're not in school as well as when you're at school. I'm talking about after you graduate as well as while you're in school. Then get off the team and get off the cheerleading squad and let's get some folks there who touch all the bases. I'm sure there were some businessmen there that were spending unnecessary time on that necessary thing. No doubt some authors there who were spending unnecessary time authoring books at the expense of the other things. No doubt there were some students there spending excessive time studying. You students in school, 10 minutes a day is enough to study. You know why I said that? Because there are more students here than there are teachers. And I'm checking the wind to see how it's flowing. No doubt there were some teachers there who spent more time studying, and that's necessary. I'm for it. But I'm not for a person who's just a book addict who does nothing but study and study and study. I'm for a person that can study and yet go out and knock on doors and go soul winning and yet love that Bible and get on their knees and pray and worship our God and have convictions and standards. I'm saying these 300 men who were well-rounded men who did not spend unnecessary time on something necessary, these were men that put to flight the entire Midianite army. I'm sure there were some theologians there from local Bible institutes and Christian colleges. I'm sure there were some entrepreneurs there. You know I knew that word, did you? They were there too. I'm sure there were some bodybuilders there. Now, I know what you're saying. Brother Hiles, with that physique you've got, you're bound to spend hours a week lifting weights. I do. I put the weights in a spoon on a fork and lift them. I wouldn't give you a dime for all the Arnold Schwarzeneggers in America. Not a dime. All you. Now, I think you ought to stay well. And as long as Dr. Streeter's here, I'll continue thinking you ought to stay well. But the truth is this. We have in America, hey, by the way, we had some professional basketball players, I'm sure, there too. Now, let me tell you something. Nobody ought to take any one of these things, whether it's sports, or whether it's music, or whether it's even prayer, or whether it's recreation. Nobody ought to take any one of these things that are necessary to life and overdo them at the expense of all the other things. Now, how do we avoid being in this 9700? Number one, giving priority to God's purpose in your life. There's a reason why you're here. And some of you ladies, be good for you. If your husband would sell you a house and buy a smaller one and let you stay home so you can watch television, I mean, so you can rear the kids. Now, staying home is not it. It's why you stay home that's it. Now, the honest, simple truth is, if you are a married woman, your main person, purpose in life is being a wife to your husband. That's why God made you. Now, everybody has a purpose in life. Now, one thing you ought to do is give preference and priority to the purpose of your existence. Number two, giving priority to God's commandments. And I have a sermon on this. Joshua said, he left nothing undone of all that God commanded. God's commandments should come before God's preferences. God's commandments should come before God's suggestions. When God commands something, that should be given top priority. Now, let me give you a few illustrations. My heroes have always been well-rounded men. I've never made my heroes... My hero is not the greatest preacher in America. My hero is a well-rounded preacher. When I was a boy, my number one hero was a man named Proctor Boyd, the older brother of Evangelist Joe Boyd. Proctor Boyd was a healthy man, an athletic man, a godly man, a praying man, a soul-winning man, a Bible-studying man, a family man, a church-going man, the treasure of our church where I grew up. Taught me in Sunday school. I would sit there and look at that man, and I'd say, that's what I want to be. And I look at this guy over here. I won't tell you his name, but he was an artist. And spent all of his time just painting. Now, he didn't impress me. He wouldn't have known a basketball if he had seen one. Proctor Boyd did, but that's not all Proctor Boyd did. Now listen. I'm talking to people all over this room tonight that need to get your priorities all straightened out. People like these 9,700 men who did that which was necessary, but took unnecessary, excessive time in doing what they ought to be doing. Recently, they have come out with the century's greatest athletes, or athletes. Several different magazines, I think ESPN came out with the 100 greatest athletes of the century. I think that USA Today came out with maybe the top athletes of the century. And some polls chose Michael Jordan. Some polls chose Babe Ruth. Some polls chose Muhammad Ali. Some chose Jim Brown, football player. Some chose Wayne Gretzky, perhaps the greatest hockey player that ever lived. I chose Raphael Johnson. Either that, maybe it was Rafer Johnson, I'm sure, Rafer Johnson. I chose him. Can't even tell you his name. I chose him. You know why I chose him? Because he was the decathlon champion. Here was a guy that ran the 100-yard dash. He ran the mile run. He ran the quarter mile run. He ran the half mile run. He did the pole vault, the high jump, the long jump, or we used to call it broad jump. 10 different events. He did not break any world records in any of them and never was the champion in any of them, but he was the best average at all of them. Now, I'm not interested in raising the church of spiritual Michael Jordans. To be quite frank with you, I wouldn't give you a dime for Michael Jordan. I mean, brother, if your hero is a guy who's a well-known gambler and wears earrings, you got something wrong with you. So you guys ought to take Michael Jordan's picture off your wall and put your dad's picture up there. I wouldn't give you a dime for the well-known ex-drunk Babe Ruth. Or the Muhammad Ali. I met the guy. I've met a lot of these guys. I met Michael Jordan one time. I signed his Bible. I talked to Muhammad Ali one time at the airport for about 5 minutes. I met these guys. But I'm not interested in spiritual Muhammad Ali's. One sport, one thing they can do, specialist if you please, you give me the decathlon. They came out with the century's greatest football player. Jim Brown of the Cleveland Browns was chosen as one poll. Walter Payton was chosen the outstanding football player of the century by another poll. Joe Montana by another. Red Grange by another. Rocco Nagurski by another. I chose a man named Doak Walker. Doak Walker, in 1 year in college, he won the Heisman Award. I knew him personally, as I mentioned last Sunday night. Grew up in the same town with him, used to play ball with him. Doak Walker led his team and the Southwest Conference in rushing. That's running with the ball. Get this now. He also led in passing. Now get this. He also led in receiving. He'd throw the ball down the field and then catch it. He was a real Texan, folks. You Yankees couldn't do anything like that. The team had a guy named Gil Johnson who was a passer, but he was not a runner. Back in the days before the T formation was invented, and he used a single wing formation. And the same fellow who was the runner on the team was also the passer. Doak Walker would lead the team until they got behind or something and needed a pass. He'd go to wing back over here. Gil Johnson comes in and becomes the tailback in the single wing formation. And then Gil Johnson starts passing and Doak Walker catches the passes. I'm saying the same season. Doak Walker led in rushing, passing, receiving, punting, place kicking, points scored, kick returns, and pass interceptions. Now, he never led the nation in any of these. But this is a world of specialists. You give me the general practitioner. You can have all these specialized television programs you want to have. All these specialized preachers that got the little parachurch ministries on the radio. All of them you want to have. You need to give me a bunch of old-fashioned Bible preaching, praying, God-fearing, soul-winning, separated King James Bible men to go out and build churches. And, hey, the greatest youth program in America, the greatest youth for Christ in America is right here. And the greatest child evangelism is right here. And the greatest Jewish evangelism is right here. I'm saying what America needs is churches that hit on all the cylinders. Well, round, if you please. Somebody asked me, who's the best Christian you ever met? Quickly, I said, John R. Rice. 22 years I traveled with him. I heard him preach 2,200 times with me as I spoke 2,200 times with him. I've eaten hundreds and hundreds of meals with him. I knew him like nobody knew him. In the last 22 years of his life, I knew him better than his own children knew him. Hear me carefully. John Rice was not the best preacher I ever heard. In fact, he was not in the top 10. John Rice was not the best Bible teacher I ever heard. I wouldn't put him in the top 5. John Rice was not the best soul winner I ever knew. I wouldn't put him in the top 10. John Rice was not the best prayer warrior I knew. I'd put him as second next to Ford Porter. He was not the greatest counselor that I've ever known. He was not the wisest man I've ever known. He was not the best church builder in America. He was not the best evangelist in America. He had some citywide campaigns, but they weren't huge campaigns like Billy Sundays and Sam Jones and Bob Jones Sr. and others. Dr. Rice's were big, but never that big. I don't know if he ever preached to more people than his wife than I preached to right here in his revivals. I doubt if he ever did. John Rice was not the greatest leader I've known. He was not the most generous person I know. But you take preaching, Bible teaching, soul winning, prayer, counseling, wisdom, church builder, evangelist, leader, and generosity, and Dr. Rice would be the decathlon champion of America. I said a while ago, I'm not interested in being the best preacher in the world. I have no desire to be. Because if I were, I would spend too much time on preaching and not have enough time on the other things. I'm not interested in being the best Bible teacher in the world. Because if I became the Bible teacher I think I could become, I would do that at the expense of all the other things that I'm supposed to do. He said, what's your goal, Brother Isles? I'll close with this statement. I simply want to meet all of your needs. That's it. Let's let the judgment seat decide who was the best preacher. I preached this last week with Dr. Bob Gray, my dear friend of many years, used to pastor for years in Jacksonville, Florida. He and I are the same age and hadn't seen him for a while. I enjoyed preaching with him. But I never tried to outpreach anybody. I'm not interested in that. And if somebody preaches before me, I pull for them, hope they'll outpreach me. I followed John Rice, I followed Bob Jones Sr., I followed R.G. Lee, I followed Lester Roloff, I followed Johnny Colston, all those great pulpiteers. I mean, many of them. But anyway, I followed them. But that doesn't interest me. I just want you to have a preacher. When your daughter gets married, or your son gets married, I want your friends to come and say, that was a beautiful wedding. I believe that man loves those kids. I just want, when your loved one passes away and your friends and loved ones come to the funeral, I just want them to be able to say to you, I didn't know he was that nice. What a comforting message it was. I want folks when they come to Wednesday night service to say, that fellow can teach the Bible some too. And I want to meet the needs of our people. When you come to my office, I want you to feel, I want the teenagers in trouble to come to my office to say, I think that man loves me. So these soldiers, 32,000 of them enlisted by Gideon. God said, send the fearful home. 22,000 go home. God said, now, get them to have a drink of water. 9,700 get on their knees to drink and 300 lap from their hands. And God said, send the 9,700 home also. I believe what God was saying is, I cannot use people who spend unnecessary time on necessary things. Now, for about 2 minutes, I want to talk to you personally. Not your wife, not your husband, not your neighbor, but to you personally. Everybody in this house, choir, deacons, staff members, college students, college teachers, all of our people. I want to talk to you personally. Look at your life. Are you neglecting a necessity? Are you giving minimal time and effort to a necessity at the expense of another? Are you practicing your saxophone 7 hours a day? Huh? Or are you spending all of your time in prayer and never tell a person about the Savior? How much time have you spent this week in prayer? How much time have you spent in this book? How many people have you talked to this week about their eternal salvation? How much time have you spent with your children? How much time have you spent with your wife? How much time have you spent with your husband? How much time have you spent in praises to our God? How much time have you spent worshiping the name of our great God? Are you unbalanced in some area? Do a good thing tonight for you to say, I like these 9,700 people. And spending unnecessary time doing necessary things. See, the devil didn't come to Eve and tell Eve to get drunk. He didn't come to Eve and tempt her with liquor or dope or fornication. I don't know what anybody there fornicated with, but he didn't come to Eve like that. He came to Eve and he said, let me tell you, Eve, I want you to do something good. Listen. And that's where the devil gets his people tonight. And that's the way... I can tell you churches that are specialists. Missionary churches. Wouldn't go across the street to win a soul, but send money around the world, across the world to win souls. Wouldn't give you a dime for them. A fellow said to me one time, he teaches at Bible Institute in Chicago, he said to me, I pastor a church too, but our churches are different. Yours is a soul-winning church, and mine's the deeper life church. I said, that's not all. Mine's the New Testament church, and yours isn't. Ask yourself tonight, are my priorities in order? Am I spending unnecessary time on necessary things at the expense of other necessary things? Would you bow your heads, please? Our Heavenly Father, as I said when I started off, this is not one of the glamour sermons, but it sure is important. This is not one of the glamour truths, but it's so vital. How subtle the devil is. And no doubt one of his favorite, most useful wiles is this one I've talked about tonight. Bless our people tonight. Help us to push that little red reset button to get things back in order. Our heads are